There's going to be clipboards and stuff handed out for kids here. So if you want one, just make sure you get your hand up and they'll get them to you. Before we I'm gonna talk for just a couple minutes before we move into testimony time. Before we do that, we have some new members we're going to receive today, Andy and Shauna Swanson. I'm going to invite them to come on up to the front. And Now, it is Testimony Sunday, and God's doing some neat stuff with you guys. And I know, so would you take a minute and just tell people what's going on? Now, Andy has the gift of gab, so I've noticed.
No.
I've noticed. No?
No?
Okay. So just a couple minutes, all right?
Okay.
Anyways, can you? What was that? Timer. And go. No.
This one's not on. Okay, there it is. I'll go first because I'm much shorter. We've had a phenomenal year. Coming to this church was a big part of that. Thank you guys so much for welcoming us and making us feel like this is our home. It really is. Not that our old church wasn't great. It really was, but we just felt God moving us. And so it was so nice to find a place that we just felt welcome and that we could serve. So we're looking forward to this new year. I'd love to be involved in the women's ministries a little bit more, and whether that's leading or co-leading or whatever that means. And then I know Andy has a definite heart for the men's ministry here at this church as well. So we're not sure where anything else in our life is going, but ministry-wise, I think God's leading us, and we know where that's going. So thank you guys so much, and you've been amazing. Most of you know that we are foster parents and in this community, and that's not an easy job. And we did struggle a little bit this past year with burnout. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support, because without you guys, seriously, not sure if we would have made it. But we are looking forward to this year. We are looking changing our jobs. Still going to potentially foster, just go to a different age bracket, maybe do youth and do teens. So if you could pray for that for us, that'd be great, because we did it for 6 years, took a break, and now, you know, Andy finds it a little easier. So
ditto.
Yeah.
Well, that's about it.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. We're gonna pray for you. Can I ask some of the board, maybe, or if you just know them and you would like to come and pray with them? Don't be shy. Come on up. Right. All right. Father, thank you so much for Andy and Shauna. God, we pray your blessing on them. God, we pray your just divine vision, direction. God, may you bless the work of their hands, bless their marriage, their home, bless their involvement here, God, and may you use them, Lord, to reach many, to see people come to know you, Jesus. Thank you for them. God, we bless them, and Lord, we receive them now, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you so much. That's good stuff, yeah. And on that, if you've ever considered membership, you know, come talk to me, and I'd love to work that through with you. All right, I want to take just a couple minutes before we get into testimony time. There's going to be a couple of lads with mics, and so they're going to help you out. And if you could, best you can, please speak into the mic so everybody can hear. I just want to tell you that this is mostly testimony stuff. If you've ever read the book, or never, maybe never read the book God's Generals by Robert Laird, I would highly recommend that as a book to read. It is phenomenal. It's full of revival testimony. Here's one of them, or here's some of them. In the spring of 1904, okay, so just a little over 100 years ago, a young Welshman named Evan Roberts was repeatedly awakened to pray from 1 to 5 a.m. By November, a powerful spiritual awakening was spreading through Wales. The London Times reported remarkable changes that took place in the public spirit. For example, in Swansea, people who had left their parents in the workhouse for the poor came to take them out. Entire congregations were on their knees in prayer. For the first time, there was not a single case of drunkenness at the Swansea County Petty Sessions. The Bible Society saw orders for scriptures multiply to 3 times the level from the previous year. At Bangor University, revival fires were spreading in January of 1905. There were only a third or a fourth of the students attending some of the classes, beginning with a spontaneous, because they were busy praying. So only about a third or a fourth of them would actually go to class. Beginning with spontaneous outbursts of praise and prayer among the men students, the movement spread at a United Prayer meeting, and many broke down sobbing. David Lloyd George, who later became Prime Minister of England, saw one of his political rallies taken over by the Welsh Revival. On January 11th in 1905, he said the Welsh Revival gave hope that at the next election, Wales would declare with no uncertain sound against the corruption in high places which handed over the destiny of the people to the terrible brewing interests. The Times reported that on January 16th, 1905, that a feud that existed for the past 10 to 12 years between two independent churches, okay, churches that had been fighting for 10 to 12 years. Because of this revival, that over the past week, they united in services and held them in both churches, and the ministers had shaken hands before the congregation. The fires of spiritual awakening crossed the ocean. In Atlanta, newspapers reported an amazing revival of prayer sweeping the city. On November 2nd, the Supreme Court of Georgia closed. The Supreme Court closed so that people could attend prayer meetings. Stores, factories, offices, and even saloons followed suit. For 2 hours at midday, all Denver was held in a spell. The markets of trade were deserted between noon and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the Denver Post reported on January 20th, 1905. One Kentucky pastor actually died from overworking because he received 1,000 new members in 2 months. I don't like that part, but I like the 1,000 new members, but not the... Listen to this, because this is amazing. Out of a population of 50,000, only 50 unconverted adults remained in Atlantic City, New Jersey. God desires to move. What's that? Yeah, bring it, Lord, right? That is right there, bring it, Lord. That is the whole point of testimony. My intention, my goal this morning is that as you testify, as you share, that a sense of victory is released into your life, into this church, into not just this church, but into our town and into our city. That by the time you leave this morning, you'll be encouraged and convinced that what God has done for others, he will do for you, and he'll do for us. Revelations 19, 9 and 10 says, John says, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And so what that means is that when we testify about what Jesus has done, it actually prophetically releases into the spirit the ability for that to happen again for somebody. And, as you read, just a little over 100 years ago, and of course, and many of you would maybe be aware that in Saskatchewan in the 50s and 60s, there was a huge revival. God loves to come and visit and move. I don't think revival is actually meant to be an event. I don't actually think revival is meant to have a time span to it. I don't know why it happens that way, but I actually think as God's people, we're meant to be in a constant state I don't even necessarily like the word revival a whole lot, because I just think it's supposed to be the normal Christian life, not something that we label as special. And so I think it's what the church is supposed to be like. Anyway, so the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Testimony is a form of worship. Testimony about what Jesus has done prophetically opens the doors for others to receive the same. Testimony is meant to be more than just a nice story. It's meant to be where God has done something for you or through you or in you. And so as you begin to prophesy, as you begin to testify, for some of you, you're going to hear something that is meaningful to you. And in that moment, you can say, bring it, Lord, just as Amy just said to us, right? Or you can say, I'll take that. So I'll share with you quick. One time, some years ago, I had a girl in my youth group when I was as youth pastor. She was 90% deaf, at least 90% deaf in her right ear. Her eardrum had like completely ruptured from a bad ear infection as a child and different things. Anyways, they were unable to fix it. So she really couldn't hear. And one time her and I were talking, and I felt God say to me, lean over and whisper in her ear. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Honestly, I'm not doing that, because that's weird, right? I was uncomfortable. I mean, I was old enough to be her dad, but I was uncomfortable with that. And it felt God saying to me, no, lean over and whisper in her ear. And so I looked at her and I said, I got to do something. And she kind of strained. And so I leaned over and I said, God wants you to hear out of this ear. And as soon as I said it, she began to sob. And her ear opened. And she said, I can hear out of this ear. I heard what you just said. And of course, you know, and then at the moment, you're kind of like, oh, praise God, but that was, God, don't do that to me. Right? Right? It's a wonderful, I'll be honest, I just happened to be there, right? It's not about me. It's about what Jesus did in her. And the fact is this, is that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. If you're here and you have trouble hearing, you can say, I'll take that, Lord. I'll take that. And just trust that right now your ear is going to begin to open and heal. So this is why we testify. This is why we talk about what God has done, because it's good for us, right? It reminds us of what he's done. So I'm going to stop talking, and it's time for you. So if you could if you could try to keep it to 2 or 3 minutes. Andy, I'm impressed. That was good. 2 or 3 minutes, please. We want to give lots of people opportunity to share. So, and it can be all kinds, right? Whatever it is that you feel you'd like to share, please don't think that anything is unimportant, whatever it is. So is there anybody that'd like to get us started? There you go. I was going to say not everybody at once. Just slow down, folks.
Much. I'm on now, right? So I was thinking about what I would say, because this has been an amazing year. Last year, at this time, I was plowing through a manual on how to call a pastor. And so I'm glad that worked out. But you know what? Last year, in January, I had a real expectancy that it was going to be a good year. It was sure going to be a year of change. It was a year we were getting a new pastor after 24 years. My husband was retiring. My youngest grandchild was going to school. I mean, there was just so many things that were going to impact our lives. And you know, God has been faithful every day. And it has been a year of wonderful things. I don't think I've had a bad day all year, honestly. And I think it's because from January 1, I expected good things from God, and he has not failed. But I wanted to tell you just a real quick pick. 1975, I had a lady say to me, an old saint in the church, Aileen Smithergale, and it was just before Christmas, she said, or maybe it was just after New Year. It was a long time ago. She said to me, because I had just got saved that year, and she said, I bet you never thought a year ago that you would be spending New Year's Eve in church. And I just thank God. I mean, at the time, I remember thinking, well, so what? But now I think, wow. And I've spent every year in church since that, 1975. So I'm just so thankful that God has kept me.
Thank you. Amen. That's good. All right. Anybody? Here you go back there, fellas. Oh. Hey, Cody. That fella back there, and then Fran. Hey, buddy.
Well, I'm going to shrink this down to 3 minutes. Welcome back. Thank you. Thank you. This 2017 has been an incredible year for me as well, along with Bill. I've retired at the end of May. not knowing where we were going to go, where we would settle. We knew we couldn't stay here, which was sad, but I knew God was opening another door. And it's been blessing after blessing after blessing. And not little blessings like, oh good, you know, I found some paint to paint the back door. Huge blessings. People, our stove broke down after we moved in. 2 days later, someone gave us a newer stove. Our wood stove was condemned and had to be taken away. A month later, someone gave us a wood stove. Things like that, over and over. We're blessed with a new church family. It's a little one. The village is only 1,000 people strong. It's a quiet place. It's a beautiful place. And we are so blessed. And thank you for all of your prayers over this past year. God is great. He is so huge. And thank you.
That's good.
I'll follow on that, Steve. I want to share about choir and what it's meant to me. Usually in about September, October, the weather is changing and there's less sunlight, and I usually fit into the sads picture. And this year with choir, I worshiped at home, singing the cantata, practicing. I worshiped together in fellowship. I grew in faith that I would have a voice. I grew in ministry. The highlight was going to Gold River, where Steve is, and visiting his church and not being able to hold tears back while we sang. I was like crumbling, and it's the worst thing that can happen to you in front of an audience, and you say, no, God, why are you doing this? Yet the awesomeness of the power of God causes you to want to testify about it. It's really strange walking with God. I love it. And what blessed me was we had also, like there's many things through choir, but there was a love offering that I didn't know about that came forward from the Spirit of God, I have to say. Not man. Like, it was incredible. And do you know we gave a gift to the Gold River Church? That's my heart to want to do, to give, not to go to receive something, but to go to give more than we're even able to give, yeah. Right? It was so exciting, and I was not down at all during December, and purposely didn't see our grandchildren that hold us up from the knees up. They're little, they're three. And so it was a good sabbatical from them. And then I got to open up my house to the choir people, and that blessed me so much. Like, I can only say I'm really blessed. Thank you, Dorothy and Rolf. Yeah. You're my heart. I love this ministry. We sang at we sang for the seniors. Oh, he's tapping my knee. We do this to each other. But it was a lot of giving, but it was so much receiving. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's keep it PG in church, okay, Ernie? All right, bye.
Some of you know that my granddaughter was attacked about a year ago in Lethbridge. And left for, she was very, they thought she was brain dead. The doctor said if she survived, that she would be a vegetable. I want this church to know that in 4 months she walked out of that hospital and signed herself out. Glory to God. Glory to God.
That's good. All right. Anybody else? Come on, folks. There you go.
Well, I'm not usually one to give a testimony in church, but I was just, when I thought about this testimony service, I felt compelled. I just felt like, how can I not stand up and just speak about God's goodness, God's faithfulness in my life? And I was reading in my Bible last night, and I just came across Psalm 40, verse 10. I have not kept this good news hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. And I just want to give glory to God today for his unfailing love in my life, for his faithfulness. I just want to praise God that every problem, every fear, every anxiety, every worry I have as a mom, all those things, they must bow their knee to the name of Jesus. And I've been declaring that in my life this year. And I just can't believe the sense of peace that comes over, that I don't have to be afraid. And so I just want to thank God. And as we've sang songs, like, I can see strongholds coming down. I've believed that strongholds are coming down, and I've seen it. And I've seen hearts changing, and I just want to thank God for that this year.
Amen. Amen. It's good. Back over there.
It's been a year and a half that God moved us here to Campbell River to be near our daughter and her husband and two kids. And so we've enjoyed building a relationship and being part of their lives. And Christmas morning, the kids gave us this, and it said, "We got you these highlights. Because you are the highlights of our years, and they are shaped like candy because you guys are sweet." These are highlights, correct? And behind, these are coupons. They surprised us coming to the Christmas Eve cantina, because our daughter and two kids, they weren't going to come, grandkids. And then Christmas after dinner, we drove the kids out for just to look at the lights. Pastor Blair, our granddaughter, made reference to what you said about the Christmas lights being light in the darkness, and her grandson said that he received that message too. He heard the message too.
Oh,
believing
awesome.
In big things, good things, and God things in their lives.
Come on.
For 20
That's good. Yeah, thank you.
Just wanted to say that about 4 years ago, my husband passed away, and I just thought to myself, God, you've been doing some deep, deep things in me, like the silent carpenter, working deeply in my soul and restoring and healing, and all the way back to when I was a little girl growing up. But I've noticed major, major changes, because when I was a lot younger, it was really hard for me just to be content being alone. It used to be really, really content, really hard. I had to be with people. I had to get on that phone. I had to try to get together with somebody or do things together with other people. I always had a hard time learning to be content, just being by myself. So I want to praise the Lord, because I've noticed over the years, and particularly in the last 4 years, how content I am when I am by myself. I don't have to always get on the phone and call everybody just to meet that need of feeling lonely. That loneliness, God has been delivering me from that loneliness for a very long time. It's been a process, but I've been noticing the changes that he's been silently doing in me. And I just want to encourage everybody to know that he will complete the work that he's begun in each one of us. So let's just praise God for the things that we struggle with, because he is concerned and he is working to complete the work he's begun in us. And I'm just really anticipating wonderful things in 2018. Amen.
This is a testimony of the, can you hear me?
Nope. Point the mic towards you.
Testimony of the healing rooms. Sometimes when no one comes, we think, oh, well, you know, we're going to keep going, or are we not going to keep going? And Joy is such a wonderful counselor and such a wonderful person there. And anyway, one day a lady came from Courtney with a teenage girl, and her feet were totally turned in, and she couldn't walk, she couldn't run. And so she came into the room, and I wasn't there that day, but these were the people that did pray for her. And she said, I just have a sore knee, too. So anyway, everyone prayed for her knee. And as they were praying for her knee, she stood up. And everyone thought, well, her knee looks good. Anyway, and as she was standing there, her feet began to turn straight. She had never walked properly in all 17 years. And they watched her feet straighten. Till today, she has walked properly. And we just thank Jesus that miracles happen in Campbell River.
Yeah. Miracles happen. Come on. Yeah, way to go, Jesus. Come on. Good.
So some of you know that about 11 months ago, I was baptized here when I was inspired by Grace, who... anyways, the next week, God gave me a picture as we were singing a song. Oh dear, I have a hard time listening to God. I ask him over and over and over again to make sure that that's really what he wants me to do. And he has a way of telling me through children. So I followed Grace, and then I was sitting here with my heart pounding, knowing that that's what that God wants me to speak today. And Caleb says, why aren't you speaking? So I just want to say thank you to God for children who can lead me. But the other thing is that he gave me this beautiful picture of... I always wondered when we sing these songs about chains breaking. And the picture that I've always had before this day was all these chains around me that I then had to clean up. And I didn't really get that. Like, I'm like, if you're going to take these chains, why do you leave them with me? And so they were just really easy for me to pick back up. And then in this song, as we were singing, he just gave me this vision of Jesus' blood actually dissolving the chains, mm-hmm. right? That the chains don't remain around our feet. The chains are gone,
yeah,
and they've been dissolved. And so I just wanted to share that. So I've been holding that, and God's a couple times this year said, you have to tell that. And I've said, okay, I don't think so. So thank you for children to lead.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. Amen. Another one. Becky. Hi. You can head back there, yeah.
Sorry, I'm being greedy. Fran, when Fran testified of coming to Gold River and bringing that choir, our community was so hugely blessed. But then God blessed us again with your gift, and I wanted to testify that all of the folks, our pastor was absolutely shocked at what you did. A week later, there was a memorial service for a fellow in town that was really well loved. And in a town of 1,000 people, 200 people showed up in that little wow. church, and it burst it wide open. There were people sitting in the foyer. There were people standing outside the of the building. And our pastor was so frustrated because all he had was a very small computer screen out in the foyer that people could, you know, share in the service. Then your gift came in from all of you that brought that gift. And on Thursday, along with another gift on Christmas Eve, we're buying a 55-inch full-screen TV to go in the foyer. So your blessing was a blessing to us.
There you go. Amen. That's good. Back here. And then Cody, over there. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello.
I just wanted to... thank God for, my son was taking a social work course, and my dad and I prayed for my son to get through the five courses, because he'd never taken five courses before, and it was a real challenge for him, and he made it through. He got all, one B- and all Bs in his courses. So I just That's wanted awesome. To thank the Lord for that. And I've been serving the Lord for about 15 years now. And I also wanted to thank the Lord for healing me. I started drinking and when I was 14 years old, and I got involved, and later on in years, I got involved in drugs. And the Lord delivered me from the drugs and the alcohol. So now I've been clean and sober for 28 years now.
Awesome. So, yeah, good.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Right.
Help. Okay. One of the things I just wanted to share was that God's goodness is not dependent on if everything's going well in your life and perfect. I think it's wonderful that, when things do go well, we all want that, right? But I have to be honest, this has been one of the most challenging years of my life. But right in those moments when I felt like I couldn't handle anymore, it was just too much, I just felt his outstretched hand reaching and just, he's the God of, he wants to rescue us. And mm-hmm. he does an awesome job at that. And he's done that time and time again, right when we've just felt like, okay, this is just too much. And he just comes in and he somehow just lines all these circumstances up and brings people and answers to prayer and just like that. And he's just like, okay. And it happens so frequently that you just have to learn lessons from that and go, okay, Lord, you are so faithful no matter what, even in the valleys, even in those seasons of your life when times are really challenging, he's always at work, no matter what. So for any of you out there that are going, well, I've had a really hard year, maybe God's not faithful or working in my life for whatever reason, no, he's always at work. So I just want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, and no matter what you will face, that God is always there, and just reach out to him, and he will pull you out of it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right.
I feel like a piece of popcorn, where it's like just sitting in there, and then all of a sudden it bursts. Have you ever had that in your heart where you're just like, I think God wants me to do something? Okay, that's me. And I'm excited because look at it. We haven't had a dull moment, There's people ready to share popping popcorn everywhere. I love it. So many cool things that God's done in my life. One time I had a dream that Ethan was choking, and I woke up in the morning and I thought, oh, I wonder if that was a God dream. Lord Jesus, protect him. What's going on? I go over to Mark and Anita's house. I tell them the dream. I'm like, I feel like it was a God dream. Like, Lord Jesus, just protect Ethan. Anyways, Mark and Anita went out in the garden and I was inside with the kids. I went up to find a DVD in Mark and Anita's, where they kept their DVDs. And I went to go up there, and then I thought, you know what, I need to check Ethan one more time. I'm just going to go check the kids one more time. I went downstairs. He had the blind thing wrapped around his neck. And so I get it all unwrapped. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then I brought him up there to get the DVDs with me, I think. But I was actually up there getting the DVDs for quite a while. So if I wouldn't have had that, it's just God intervenes, and I love him because he's real and he intervenes in our life. And one other story this year, I had it on my heart to share a story, just a testimony of when I had an encounter with somebody that was struggling with demonic stuff. And I had this thought in my heart. I'm like, you know what, maybe I should share it on Facebook. And I'm like, ooh, that is really scary. If I share it on Facebook, a lot of people are going to think I'm nuts, which I'm sure that's okay. I am a little nutty. And I thought, oh, well, maybe like 20 people will see it, and people will probably think I'm weird, and that's okay. But it was one of those popcorn things. I felt just burning, and my heart was racing, and I shot the video once on my phone and then watched it, and I was like, that's horrible, and I erased it, and then, but it was still burning in my heart that I needed to do this, and I'm like, Facebook has this thing that you can shoot live, which means, like, you can't turn back once you start, like, everybody's seen it, and, you know, and I was like, I think I just got to shoot it live, or I'm never going to do this, and so my heart was just going crazy, and I did it. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, it's done. People are going to think I'm insane. And then that night, right before I went to bed, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to make it. I feel like God's, like, telling me to make it public. So now not only my friends are going to think I'm insane, the whole world, if they see it, will think I'm nuts. So I decided to make it public. And, like, 1,000 people have seen this story. And it's not about me. It's about what the power of God did, yep, and what the power of God, you know, can do and how it sets people free. But, you know, what was cool about it was just that, you know, like, God, we have stories. We have things that God has done in our lives. And that took me like 7 minutes out of my life to do. And yet it reached thousands of people, God's story. And I don't know, that just encouraged me that God just took the little thing that I had experienced about what he did, and it just reached so many people. Okay, one more thing. I'm sorry. I'm a preacher, and this happened.
Cut hurting.
Okay, so Desmond asked me to read in the Bible the other day, and so I'm reading in 1 Chronicles, and the first couple chapters in Chronicles are all like, David was the son of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah was the son of blah, blah, blah. And, like, it goes on for, like, a long time, and I'm like, okay, sorry, Des. Anyways, but it stops, and it says something about a guy named Jabez. So, basically, it's all about whoever. It doesn't tell anything, but it stops and says something about Jabez. And this is what it says about Jabez. It says there was a man named Jabez, and he was an honorable man. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted his request. It stops the genealogy to say that? You know, like, the fact that this man prayed that? You know, like, let's get bold. Let's start saying some prayers. If Jabez can pray that God's blessing would be upon his family, that his territory would be enlarged, and God stops the genealogy to say, hey, I saw that this guy prayed it, and I blessed him with it. Lord Jesus, we just stop right now, Father God, and we just take boldness, and we say, Lord, we want more of you, Father God. We want your spirit to fall and rest in this church and on our lives, God. We just pray that you would have abundance in this place, Father God. Here's our lives. Take and use it. Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Father God, that we would be proclaimers of your word, that we would walk in your favor, Father God, when we speak in deaf ears, that they would hear, when we pray over people's feet, Lord, that they would be healed, Father, that people would be set free from addictions, Father God, that people would be walking out of confusion into your truth, Lord Jesus. Take the blinders off our eyes, Father God, and let us be people who proclaim your goodness, that we walk in your kingdom, Father God, and that the shadow that follows us, Father God, would heal the sick and raise the dead. Lord, that we wouldn't just hear these stories, but that we would be a part of these stories, that we would be proclaiming your word and your testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Use us, Lord God. Set people free. Do things in our hearts and transform our minds and our lives to be more like you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You sure you want to go after that?
I'm a pastor.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. Thank you, Amy.
Anyways, I just want to say it was a year ago that I was recovering from a heart attack. I'm alive and well. God was good to me. And I even testified to the nurse there and said, either God protected me or healed me, because the lady that took the ultrasound did it twice. She couldn't see anything wrong. You've probably seen every kind of heart you can imagine. And she said she couldn't believe it. Had to do it again. And so I know God is good. But I want to share something that the Lord made real to me just this last few days. And that is, we're going into a new year that probably the news is going to get worse and worse. But you know what God was saying to me? recognize the presence of Jesus wherever you go, yep. and let the peace of God just fill your heart.
Yeah, it's good. Good.
Amen. Let the good news of God just increase and increase. I just thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all hope. This last year has been a real challenge for not only me, but our family. He does this every time when I want to testify about him, and I just break down about his goodness, his love. He's always there. I can't say that it's been great all the time, but it's been good too, and he's always there. And I'm just, he's had me, and I know other people, cross the chicken line so many times to step out of our comfort zones and get into that boldness for that wonderful prayer from Amy. And preparing us for the days ahead, I just want to, you know, we are so blessed to have such a wonderful church family. You guys have blessed us over the top for the last few years, and we just love you, and we thank you for your prayers. And I just, one of the things that I've been asking him for is like, God, I want to go out. I didn't have very good experience years ago with going out and evangelizing. And so not only has he been challenging me inside, but also outside. And I've had a few encounters. I've been praying for encounters. I want out. I want, my prayers have been, he keeps telling me, pray larger prayers. Okay, Lord. And it's just been over the top with him, expanding my vision of what he wants to do in our lives, in our community, in the body of Christ here, not only here, but in Vancouver Island and across Canada. And, but I just, you know, I love the times where it's just small, intimate times where I'm just driving around and then doing my whatever I need to pick up. And all of a sudden, I just feel that I got that ping from him. And I'm really hungry. And I wasn't hungry before, and now I'm starving, and I could eat a cow. And I'm like, well, where do I go? And I'm driving around, okay, maybe quick McDonald's. And then it's like I'm driving around Walmart going, no, it's not McDonald's. And then all of a sudden I get this vision of Dairy Queen, and I'm going, I hate Dairy Queen. And I go, okay, I'll go down to Dairy Queen. Maybe it is Dairy Queen, and I'm circling the parking lot. And finally I've got to park. So I get inside, and I have an encounter with this woman. And make a long story short, I won't go into it, but it was just being asking him every step of the way, how do you want me to bless her? What is it that I can do for her? What is it that you want, Lord, for her? And it ended up, she needed a ride, and I gave her a ride. She's an elderly woman, and there were questions about her daughter who had committed suicide this last year, and it turns out I knew her daughter. And we could talk, and we talked. And there were questions that she wanted answered, and Lord was answering them for her. And since then, I've encountered her again. So we exchanged phone numbers, and we're going to get together. But I've had a few of those where I was able to just, you know, not get into a real preachy thing, or just, but it was more like relationship, you know, like not just being wanting to establish relationship and friendship. And I'm just praying for more in the new year. God, increase that, you know, for me and just for all of us, and just more boldness. Yeah, stretching those tent pegs. And sometimes it's not nice to feel that stretching. But anyway, I praise God, like praise that, God. Just for the wonder of him is just amazing sometimes. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Maybe just one more, maybe, and then we're going to... One more? Did you... we can do two more if you... Yeah? Okay. You head over to Jeff.
All right. I know I already talked, but I will... God just brought this to mind. I've been doing... I did like an Advent daily Bible reading thing. And so I just kind of continued that after Christmas on my own. And God was really stretching my heart and just the love of God. And I got this devotional. It's like a daily devotional, right? And it was, I get a few of them. And some of them are kind of fluff and some of them are just so impactful. This one was just from the other day. And it just spoke to me because one of my favorite worship songs, which we sang here, was Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. And it just, every time it tugged my heart, I used to lead worship in our old church, and I couldn't get through that song without bawling. You know, God gives us and he takes away, and I know in our line of work it happens all the time, but in just life in general, right? And to be okay with that or to live openly with that is really, really difficult. So this just spoke to me, and I've had a feeling that would speak to somebody here. So it says, the very same God of the harvest is also the God of the desert. Could it be possible that God has sometimes thwarted my plans in order to destroy my shallow understanding of his love? Could God have allowed difficult circumstances so that I may wrestle with who he really is? Maybe the messing up of our plans is exactly what we need. God will go to great lengths to squash the false gospel and repair cracked foundations in our faith. He does this not out of anger, but out of love. He knows we can miss him completely if we misunderstand him. God of the universe treasures you. His thoughts about you are always good. He chose you when he planned creation, and you are not a mistake. He brought you forth on the day you were born, and his thoughts towards you are countless, like the grains of sand on the seashore. And you are always and forever truly, deeply loved by him.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you.
May those words speak to you.
That's good. All right, one more, and then the worship team can make their way up.
I just love how God speaks through everyone, and it all kind of comes together and it all makes sense. So some of the things that have been said, so Amy was saying that often she thinks that she might be looked at as crazy by some of the people in the world. So as a Christian, we have the truth, and as has been explained, like, we can know the God of the universe. That's an amazing thing. And when people look at us from the outside, they might think we're crazy, but if you actually think about Christianity, it's the most logical, most defensible, most reasonable and scientifically backed belief system that there is.
Amen.
And we have to stand on that. Like, if you look at 2017, the world is changing quickly. And free speech is somewhat going by the wayside. We have our governor general that stood up and basically mocked people that believe in a creator. She made a statement that kind of said, anybody that believes that the world came about by a creator is kind of stupid. So I think that as Christians, we need to be able to speak freely. We need to be able to speak the truth, and we need to be able to defend that truth. All of you guys that know me know that I come at it from an angle of logic, and we are sitting in a place where we have so much access to information, way more than 20 years ago, 100 years ago, and the truth of Christianity just gets stronger and stronger, but yet the voice of Christianity gets weaker and weaker. And I think it's up to us to be able to give a reason for our faith and do that in a loving way, right? We need to be able to show God's love. I'd encourage all of you that are inclined to look on YouTube, look on the internet, look up people like John Lennox, Dr. John Lennox, professor of mathematics at Oxford University. Look at Ravi Zacharias, RZIM Ministries. These guys are excellent at giving you the background in that. creationministries.com. Like, that's where you're going to get some information to be able to back up your faith. And then when they look at us and say we're crazy, it doesn't look so crazy from that perspective.
Yeah, we'll have an answer. Amen. Thank you so much. Can we have that mic back? Why don't you stand? We're going to...